Without any delay, it is our honor to invite to the minbar to address the believers tonight, Sayyid Muhammad Hashimi from the Islamic Republic of Iran, who will continue from last night's subject in part two tonight. How did Imam Hussein alayhi salam transform the history of mankind? We invite him with a salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين وباعث الأنبياء والمرسلين ثم الصلاة والسلام على النبي الأمي العربي الهاشمي القرشي العبد المؤيد والرسول المسدد الذي سمي في السماء بأحمد وفي الأراضين بأبي القاسم مصطفى محمد ثم الصلاة والسلام على آله آل الله واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أعداء الله إلى قيام يوم الله صلى الله عليك يا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله الحسين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Respected brothers and sisters, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all your efforts during the holy month of Muharram, and thanks to the brothers and sisters in SOQ for organizing all this. Inshallah, this will be the place of blessings, inshallah, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is the gathering of different races, different nationalities, and different people all together that are united just by the name of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alam. Because tomorrow is the day of Tasu'a, and the next day is the day of Ashura, this is so important for all of us to have that kind of consciousness for these 2 days. It is very good to attend all the majalis in Qum. MashaAllah, this is the capital city of the majalis of the vault. Alhamdulillah. But in addition to attending majalis, you need, and we need, this presence of heart during these days and nights. And that's so important. The presence of heart, especially on the day of Ashura, is so important. It's very good to somehow acquire that presence, that consciousness, inshallah ar-Rahman, that mindfulness, to understand and to realize and to witness that Abi Abdullah al-Hussein is so much alive and is looking at us. And all those narrations in Kamil al-Ziyarat affirms this. So it's very good, and for that it's maybe recommended to for a human being to read the parts, especially the Imam Hussein part of this book, Kamil al-Ziyarat. If you had time, please, please read those narrations, especially most of them by Imam al-Sadiq salamullahi alayhi, in this book, Kamil al-Ziyarat. There is an English translation, Arabic, all of you, alhamdulillah, are students of Hoza, I think you can read Arabic, but the English translation is available. It's, you know, it's a great book to read, and it's, you know, in another way connects you to Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. All those chapters of this book, the greatness of the soil of Karbala, why we should weep for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. There is a narration there that's so beautiful, that one day Kaaba, the house of God, Baytullah, and it is, you know, it is the tongue of the takveen of this universe. Kaaba was saying that I am the greatest place in the universe. I am the house of God. I was glorified by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that narration, we read that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Ka'b, be silent. Don't be proud of yourself. If it were not because of the land of Karbala, you wouldn't have any sanctuary. Any. In that narration, we read that the greatness of you in comparison to the greatness of Karbala, it's like a needle in comparison to an ocean. Ka'b, Baytullah al-Haram, the sacred house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another narration in that book, very beautiful. It is said on the Day of Judgment, after people, you know, are done from the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's obvious who's going to the hell and who's going to the paradise. In the Arshullah, before they enter the heaven, people enter the heaven, there is a gathering. And in the center of that gathering is Abi Abdullah al-Hussein talking to people. And they talk to Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. It is said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not Allah, those angels of the heaven, they're calling to these people that it's your time. Let's go and enter the heaven. It's over. There is no calculation. There is no judgment here now. It's done and you can enter the heaven. All those people, they say, no, no. We are in the fine place. We're not going anywhere else on the Day of Judgment. It is said even Hurul Een was sent, Hurul Een of any and each and every one of those people there, were sent to them to tell them that come here, we're ready for you. They don't even look at those Hurul Een. وَيَخْتَارُونَ مَجْلِسَهُ وَحَدِيثَهُ They choose to be in the gathering of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. This is the love. Some of those Madihin, they say that I don't want the heaven without Hussein. It has narration. It's true. And in that narration, I think it's from Imam Sadiq salamullah alayhi, says that they are called Huddathul Hussein. The people who talk to Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, and Abi Abdullah talks to them. Interlocutor of Abi Abdullah, these people. Huddathul Hussein. Because they cried for Abi Abdullah al-Hussein in their life, because they held these gatherings, because they loved Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. So being conscious is everything in Islam. In the maktab, in a school of thought of Imam Khomeini, the greatest thing for a person is to be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything comes after this. Without this, you are not in the camp of Khomeini to begin with. Okay? So inshallah, let's try that. There is a book by Ayatollah Pahlavani, the student of Allama Tawatabai. I just forgot the name. I think it is Asrar al-Shahada, I think. Or Furugh al-Shahadat, yes. It's in Farsi. I don't think it has any Arabic translation. That is a very beneficial book in that case, to be mindful of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. And it's very good if you want to read about Ashura. And that is an Irfani explanation of Ashura. And that's very good for you to read. And as always, I say this Muharram chapter of the book Al-Muraqabat. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us his tawfiq to be conscious and mindful of the existence of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. Bi barakati salawatin ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. In the previous session, we said that Imam Hussein was always needed for all the generations of the mankind. But when we read narrations and the history, and when we talk about the greatness of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, And when we study the characteristics of our age and day that we're living in now, we may find out that this age that we are living in now is the most needy age to the character of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. As we talked about the Ziyarat al-Arba'in, لِيَسْتَنْغَذَ عِبَادَكَ مِنَ الْجَهَالَ وَحَيْرَةِ الضَّلَالَ وَالْعَمَى وَالشَّكْ وَالْإِرْتِيَابِ. He is the one who's going to save the mankind, servants of Allah. Not just Shia people, Iranian, Arab, Iraqi people, Indian people, no. The entire mankind from the misguidance, suspicion, from doubt. Okay? Last day we said that the first thing about Abi Abdullah al-Hussein is so important in this field is believing in unseen. Being with Abi Abdullah al-Hussein makes it so easy for you to be connected to the unseen world. Even if you're not Allama Tawataba, you're Ayatollah Bahjat. The easiest path for everyone, and everyone can experience that spiritual journey by Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And that is a great thing for a human being. Because modern human being excluded spirituality and anything about unseen world from his life. And this is why he forgot himself, as we talked yesterday. But the second thing about Abi Abdullah al-Hussein that is so important, even for today's life, is that Imam al-Hussein was always, in his tradition, the history of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, is against determinism, is against normalization. What does that mean? Imam Hussein lived in a society that was so easy, low cost, to be neutral. You know, when Abi Abdullah started to travel from Medina to Mecca, some prominent companions of Rasulullah and Amirul Mu'mineen, they told him not to go. These are Kufi people. They left your father and they left your brother to Muawiyah. Who said that? Ibn Abbas, the great companion of Amirul Mu'mineen. Ibn Hanafiyyah, the son of Amirul Mu'mineen, rahmatullah alayh. And then Abdullah ibn Umar in Mecca, he said, Ya Hussein, you're going to die. Where are you going? Just give this allegiance to Yazid. Okay? So it was common, fashionable, without any cost, to be a prominent companion of Rasulullah or Amirul Mu'mineen or be a great scholar in that time and stay neutral. Or just say, okay, this time for Yazid. Inshallah, we'll see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plans for the future. But Abi Abdullah did not do that. What did he say? He said, "Inni akhafu ayyandarisa hadha al-haq wa yadhhab." I'm afraid that this haq, this truth, this religion of Rasulullah, yandaris, destroyed by those people, wa yadhhab, and is gone if I don't do anything. أَلَا تَرَوْنَ أَنَّ الْحَقَّ لَا يُعْمَلُ بِهِ وَأَنَّ الْبَاطِلَ لَا يُتَنَاهُ عَنْهُ. Don't you see that people are not abiding and following the haq, and people are not stopping the batil? Are you blind? And then he says that it's better for a human being to die than to be alive and see this. وعلى الإسلام السلام إذ قد بليت الأمة براع مثل يزيد. And we have recited the Fatiha of Islam. Goodbye Islam. Why? Because the ruler of this Islamic society is Yazid. Who was Yazid? Mas'udi in Muruj al-Dhahab, he says that وَكَانَ صَاحِبُ قُرُودٍ وَفُهُودٍ وَمُنَادَمَةٍ عَلَى الشَّرَابِ. He had monkeys. He was always drunk. He would commit adultery even with his maharim. And he was openly the ruler of the Islamic Ummah. He was a successor of Rasulullah. And Abdullah ibn Umar is standing down and seeing and watching the scene. All those companions watching the scene. And they were respected. People would, Imam Hussein in Khutbatul Mina, years before Ashura and Karbala, he says, "Oh, scholars, if people are respecting you, it's because of Islam. You have nothing to be respected. Who are you? This turban and this cloth and all of this name, these titles are coming from Islam. And you see that they are destroying Islam." Muawiyah openly says that I pray the Friday prayer on Wednesday. I've got jobs to do. I've got to travel. So let's do this on Wednesday. And no one has any objections. Walid ibn Uqba, in the time of the third Khalifa, in Kufa, he was the governor of Kufa. And he was one night drunk to the extent that he came to lead the Fajr prayer. And he performed 4 units instead of 2 units. And after the Salat, vomited the wine out of his mouth and then looked to the people and said that, "I'm ready to perform more units of Salat. If you're ready, I'm okay with that." This was the society that Rasulullah built. Ashidda, people were like this. ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين. In that verse, والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم تراهم ركعًا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله. These are the traits of the companions of Rasulullah. They are always hard against kuffar. They are soft with mu'minin. You see the sign of sujood in their forehead. This was the society that Rasulullah left. But what happened to this society after 50 years? Imam Hussein is watching this and says, "Why are you staying neutral? Neutral for what? For what maslaha?" The maslaha of saving your life? Or the maslaha of Islam? This is why there is no taqiyya in Ashura. People ask that, "Why Abi Abdullah said, did it do taqiyya?" Taqiyya is wajib. Imam al-Sadiq said taqiyya is dini wa dinu abai. Why it didn't do that? Because taqiyya is obligatory to save your life or your money or your family when Islam is still alive. But if your taqiyya leads Islam to be destroyed, it's haram. It's haram to do taqiyya. This is why Imam Khomeini, and this is a bold statement, he says that even a ma'soom could be sacrificed for an Islamic government. This Islamic system, existing of Islamic system on this planet, it was for ma'sumin even more important than the life of that ma'sum. This is why Abi Abdullah sacrifices himself to maintain, to somehow modify this, reform this. So, one of the lessons that we take from the Ashura is to take action, is to not give up, is to not let tyranny become normalized. You know, brothers and sisters, how many people accompanied Imam al-Hussein from Medina and Mecca? Less than 20, 30, 40, 50. But it is said in the books of the history that a singer, a lady singer, she came to Mecca to perform in Islamic society in the time of Yazid. Lady singer, okay? It is said that the city of Medina got evacuated from men. No one stayed in Medina just to join the performance of the lady. Thousands of men, they were present in Medina. But in Karbala, Imam Hussein has 72 companions, less than 100 companions. Abi Abdullah al-Hussein told us to take sides. We cannot just stay neutral. You can't say in that time that Hussein is a alim and Abdullah ibn Umar is an alim, Ibn Abbas is an alim, and that companion is an alim. Okay? They have some disputes. We are Muslims. And these disputes are not that important. So let's be with every one of them, every single one of them. So, just 72 people with Abi Abdullah. This is the consequence of this kind of mindset. You have to take sides. Yes, sometimes this is a dispute, a battle between two children. You don't need to do anything. But sometimes it's two kind of world views about Shiism or about Islam. You cannot stay in middle. And you think that you're staying neutral. No, you're taking side. Because when you abandon Hussein ibn Ali, you're helping the army of Ibn Ziyad. It's obvious. Because you know, brothers and sisters, if Imam Hussein had more than 4,000 or 5,000, the result wouldn't be like this. With less than 100 soldiers Abi Abdullah had against those people, this battle took more than 8 and 9 hours for them to finish. If Abi Abdullah had 4,000, 5,000 of those people who thought that it's a dispute between Hussein and Yazid, let's sit in our houses. And he's not aware that he's helping Yazid. Taking sides is important, brothers and sisters. Whoever says that you don't need to take any side, I don't know how he attended all these years, all these majalis. I don't know which majalis raised such a personality. Okay? Even in this time, you know, I'm not usually talking so barely and openly about the present time because of reasons. But sometimes it's obvious and we need to talk. Look, there is a long-term discussion, okay, of two kind of worldviews in Shi'i school of thought, especially after the Islamic Revolution. First flag and first path is by Imam Khomeini, salam, rahmatullahi alayh. Imam Khomeini, he believed that we have to stand against all those powers. If we stay idle, if we stay neutral, they would suck all of our resources. Go read the history. Some of the brothers here are from India or Pakistan. You have the history of the colonialism there. They would easily kill hundreds of women and men and children. Even until today, they don't make any apologies. Okay? There are too many atrocities in India happened by the great kingdom. Okay? But they never said that we're sorry. We kill you, but we're not sorry. But if you kill us, if you get close to us, we will destroy all your houses. This is the logic. This is the ethical logic. Imam Khomeini was telling all the people, all the freedom seekers, not just Shia people, that you have to take action. You have to do something. The greater message of the revolution of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, it was to stand against Your present journey, this is what Shahid Mutahhari says in his book, Himasi Husseini, that you have to recognize your present Shemr. You have to recognize your present Yazid. Shemr of the 1400 years ago is died. He doesn't exist anymore. Yes, we curse him, we talk about him, but it's easy to talk about that Shemr. It doesn't have any cost. It doesn't have any price. You can do everything and talk against him. Go to all those media outlets, all those social media channels. From those group and people that are days and nights insulting Shemr and Omar ibn Sa'd and some other people, they are never got banned or removed or confronted. Never! Because it's easy to talk about Shemr. Who's going to confront you? Who's going to say anything against you when you talk about Shemr? But if you want to talk about today's Shemr, the moment you open your mouth, they shoot you. They try to shut you up. They remove you from the existence. First, try to remove your voice. Second, your reputation. And if they can't do that, they remove you from the existence. Like what they did to Haj Ghassan. Okay? So, it's not easy, brothers and sisters. It's not like that. To be, I am a Shia. There are ulama here. Every alim has his opinion, and in the absence of Imam al-Mahdi, no one is wrong. What is that? Everyone is right. This is exactly what they said. They would say that everyone has his ijtihad here. Hussein has his ijtihad, Yazid has his ijtihad, Umar ibn Sa'd has his ijtihad, and everyone is right. Everything is dependent. It's not like that. It's just when you want to, you know, when you don't want to carry the burden of that responsibility. You say that everyone is right, so don't ask me to do anything. We have to take sides. I don't mean that every day and night you have to, you know, join all the demonstrations and chanting against this country and that country. No, I don't mean that. But you need to have an obvious worldview. There are some narrations from Shiism. All of them together are not true. One is Haqq. Not all of them. This is the teaching of Quran. Okay. You have to take sides. But when you start to take sides, and you have to clarify, brothers and sisters, this world, because of the media, is full of misconception. It's full of misconception. Like what recently happened about the British Shiism and things like that. And we know Imam Khamenei, what did he mean by British Shiism? It didn't mean the nationality or people who living in a country. It was very obvious for people here. The context was obvious. It was the act of those people who are easily insulting others and other schools of thought in Islam, and the consequence of their actions, just go back to the Middle East and kills our brothers and sisters. And they are free to do that. Can you post a photo of Haj Qasim on your Instagram account? Who can do that? But how can you, you know, make a movie with a big production insulting other schools of thought, and you have free theaters in London and other cities in UK? Why is that? Why your activities has no price, but my activities always has a heavy price? So that is obvious. This is exactly what happened to Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. It was so easy to recite Quran, to memorize Quran, to teach Quran, to talk about Quran. It was always easy. Maybe I said that. One of the companions of Amir al-Mu'minin, soldiers in the battle of Jamal, he came to Amir al-Mu'minin and said, "Inna qad shakakna fi hadha al-qital." We have doubts in this battle. Ya Ali, why? Because in that side, I see Zubayr and Talha and the wife of Rasulullah. In this side, this is you, the greatest companion of Rasulullah. I don't know what to do. Amir al-Mu'minin told him, "I'arif al-haq, ta'arif ahla." He said, "No, Ya Ali, please send me to the borders. I want to fight there because I want to be, you know, in peace and solace that I'm really fighting infidels, non-believers. I'm not sure about these people." And he left the camp of Amir al-Mu'minin. After years, after Ashura, it is said that some people went to him and he was a very zahid, so-called zahid and abid and dhakir. And he was reciting this adhkar. They told him that Hussein is killed. Grandson of Rasulullah was brutally killed in Karbala. He turned around and said, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. I'm deeply sorry." And then, again, in front of, looked towards Qibla, and started again to do his adhkar. But this time, he started to say, "Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa atubu, astaghfirullah Rabbi wa atubu." Why? They said, "Why you changed your dhikr?" He said, "Because you reminded me and told me about an incident in this material world, I got distracted from dhikrullah." Okay? So I'm saying astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. This man's istighfar has no cost. But this call of Hussein that أريد أن عامر بالمعروف وأنهى عن المنكر وأسير بسيرة جدي وأبي has cost. And the cost is علي الأكبر, is علي الأصغر, is قاسم, is حبيب, is سعيد. Look how much you're giving away for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you feel everything is good, I'm living in peace and solace, nothing happens. Yes. There is no test, no trial, no tribulation. I'm always in majalis and everything is fine. Something's wrong here. Are you sure that you're really in the camp of Hussein ibn Ali against Shimr and Yazid and Umar ibn Sa'd? You have to reconsider. And by that, I don't mean, brothers and sisters, that we have to go and interrogate people. Which side are you going to take? No. We're going to preach the word of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, not interrogate people. And they interrogate us. I have a friend. He's an alim in Qum. He was in a Arba'in trip to Karbala. And he said that one night, this, you know, free places that they facilitate for the Zuvar of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, he said, a very big building, and I was there with hundreds of other people. The man responsible there, at night he came to me and woke me up, okay, and told me, "Do you believe in Bara'a?" At night. If you believe in that, okay, start doing la'an on the first one and that person and that person and that person. And he said that they realized that I follow Imam Khamenei, I'm not doing this openly. And he said that, okay, go out. He was Zahir of Abi Abdullah, go out. You don't need to be. They interrogate, unfortunately, a minority of Shia, you know? But they do that. Look, Imam Khamenei, for all these years, I don't know if you have ever encountered his Dars Kharij and the level of his knowledge in Dars Kharij. Unfortunately, this V, revolutionary students and people like us, we don't care about these things. Just chanting against enemies and, okay. If you see the level of knowledge is in Dars Kharij, it would be amazing for you. Okay? But even until now, he never published a Risala. I remember 11 years ago, he came to Qom, and we were in this Shabistan Imam Khomeini chanting, Barja'e taqlid ma Risala, Risala. We were saying that. Please give. He didn't even care about this, all of this shu'ar and chantings. Why? Because of respecting other Miraj. But you, when it comes to you, some of our Shia brothers, they even put Alif Lam al Ta'rif before talking about Marja. Al Marja'iyya means just one. I mean that, brothers and sisters, and I'm not demonizing anyone, no. It doesn't mean that this is the camp of Imam Hussein and every other person is the camp of Yazid. No, it's not like that. The level is different. But the story is the same. Story is the same. It doesn't matter what is your title. It doesn't matter. What is your title? Are you standing with Haqq? The grave of Lady Zainab was going to be destroyed. They were going, na'udhu billah, to put out the body out of grave. Okay? Though when this An-Nusra and ISIS were approaching the Zainabiyya in Damascus, in Dameshq, who saved that shrine? Brothers and sisters, who did this? The Pakistani and Iraqi and Irani and Lebanese who believed in what? Who believed in revolution and standing against taghut and tyranny did this? Or those people who have very fascinating majalis but never mention any taghut? Which side? I always ask them from my friends in Qom. People are here always. One of them, yes, is so in that side. One of them, you know, at the beginning of that battle in the Syria, he told me that, are you going to save Bashar al-Assad? After years, I told him, if we didn't do that, if we didn't decide to do that, who would save the grave of Lady Zainab? And then Karbala, and you saw that after 14 hours, about 20% of land of Iraq was captured by ISIS. And they were going to take Karbala. Who stood against them? Why don't you see that? Why don't you see that people, Shia people in Lebanon, were always under oppression? They were poor people without any education. Low-class people in Lebanon. And what happened now? Why don't you see that? Something happened since 1979 for Shia people and for the Islamic Ummah. You have to take side. I know it's difficult, but it's difficult to be with Hussein ibn Ali. It's difficult. You have to give away something. You have to sacrifice at least your reputation. Being Shia, brothers and sisters, the final word, being Shia of Hussein and Ali was not meant and supposed to be easy. End of the story. It wasn't easy. If it seems easy to me, I need to have some doubts. Okay? If it seems easy. We have to fight, inshallah, to establish that exemplary society for the whole world. And then say that this is the Husseini society. And Imam al-Mahdi is going to spread this to the whole world. This is our mission. And inshallah, 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 we have to fulfill this mission. As I said, it was always cost. It had heavy cost to be in the camp of Hussein and to be with Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. Maybe I said that here one time, I don't know. It's so hard to be with Hussein. There is a person called Dhahak ibn Abdullah al-Mishraqi. He was a companion of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. He was all with Hussein from Imam al-Hussein, from Medina, maybe Medina or Mecca to Karbala. Always was a companion. He had a deal with Imam al-Hussein. The deal was, Ya Hussein, I am with you and I will be with you until you have a single soldier in your army. If you had no one, I'll leave you. Okay? In the afternoon of Ashura, this person came to Imam al-Hussein and was still alive and said, Ya Hussein, we had a deal. Okay? Yeah. Imam Hussein said, yes, I know we had a deal. Last night, on the night of Ashura, I said, everyone, whoever wants to go, he can go. They want me, not you. You can go wherever you want. They won't follow you. Just tell them that I'm not with Hussein anymore. Okay? Imam Hussein said, yes, I know we had a deal. Yes, we had a deal. He said, okay, I want to go. Imam Hussein told him, it's okay to go for you. But be aware. Take as long distance as you can from the plains of Karbala. Because if you hear the voice, هَلْ مِن نَاصِرٍ يَنْصُرُنِي وَهَلْ مِن مُعِينٍ يُعِينُنِي وَهَلْ مِن ذَابٍ يَذُبُّ عَنْ حَرَمِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ If you hear that voice and you do not answer me, you will definitely go to hell. So go to a place that you cannot hear my voice. And he had a horse there and started to ride his horse and got far away from Karbala. Because it had price to be with Hussein. The price was his life. The price was his life. But those people who stayed with Hussein ibn Ali, who were resilient, who resisted, they could reach the greatest foes and salvation in the history of mankind. And on the day of judgment, we will see the greatness of the level of those people. Tomorrow is the day of Tasu'a, and traditionally tonight is dedicated to Mawlana al-Abbas alayhi salam. But since this is the last session of this majlis, inshallah, we will also have a tawassul to Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. Abul Fadl al-Abbas, brothers and sisters, you know, in the tents of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, people had worries. They were afraid. But until Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas was there, it was some kind of peace. Trust that no one can approach the sanctity of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. And it was real. Abbas even was the means of peace and solace of the heart of Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam. This was Abbas. Never called his brother Ya Akhi. Never. And it was the teaching of his mother. Because his mother, Ummul Banin Salamullah Ali, always told him that your mother is me. Okay? The mother of Hussein is Fatima al-Zahra. You don't have the same level. Because me and Zahra, we don't have the same level. I am the servant of Zahra. And you have to be the servant of Hussein ibn Ali. You have to be the servant of Hussein ibn Ali. So he never told Hussein, Ya Akhi. Always he would say, Ya Sayyidi, Ya Mawlai, Ya Imami, Justice. Never told that. In the afternoon of Ashura, Abul Fadl al-Abbas came to Abi Abdullah al-Hussein and Imam was saying, maybe he never wanted this moment to happen. He came that, Ya Mawlai, I'm really exhausted. I don't want to live in this world after Ali ibn al-Akbar and Qasim. Please let me go. I want to go. Abi Abdullah al-Husayn looked at him and wept and said, Ya Abbas, anta al-alamatu fi askari. You are the sign of my army. فَإِذَا مَضَيْتَ تَفَرَّقَ askari. If you go, there will be no army for me, Ya Abbas. Sallallahu alayka ya Mawla. The day of Ashura, Abbas had a meeting with his brothers. He had other three brothers there. He said, oh brothers, I'm older than you. So every single one of you have to go to the battlefield defending Hussein. So I can be the one, who has patience in your death and martyrdom. I want to witness the martyrdom of my brothers before I go to the battlefield. But on the day of Ashura, he was the guard. He was the guard of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. Since the morning, he was always with Hussein. He came with Abi Abdullah, maybe on the body of Ali ibn al-Akbar, with Habib, with Zuhayr. He was always guarding around Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. He was Abbas, always looked at enemy with enmity and anger. Ya Mawla, Ya Mawla. As-salamu alayka ya ibn amir al-mu'mineen. As-salamu alayka ayyuhal abdu s-salih al-muti'u lillahi wa rasooli. Ashhadu annaka qad ja'ata wa nasahta wa sabarta. Ad-da-ya-ya-ya. Ataika al-yaqeen. He came to Abi Abdullah al-Husayn, asked the permission to go to the battlefield. But Imam told him, Ya Abbas, if you really want to go, okay. But go look at my children and the children of Haram. They are thirsty. They're going to die of thirst. If you can do anything, Ya Abbas, go bring some water. And you know, Abul Fazl Abbas never went to the battlefield to fight. Just for the water. Ya Mawla, Ya Mawla. So he rode towards the river. There were enemy soldiers blocking his path. But who can stand their ground when they see Abbas ibn Ali approach? You know, when Abbas approached, the cold water of Euphrates, of Frat. When he looked at the water, he didn't see himself. He saw Hussein, his lips dry and jet, waiting for him, relying on him. He had cupped his hands and scooped up some water in them. But suddenly it is said that he reminded the saying of Amir al-Mu'mineen that, Ya Abbas, you have to protect Hussein ibn Ali. In that moment, فَذَكَرَ عَتَشَ الْحُسَيْنِ. He reminded the thirst of Abi Abdullah. So he was close. He could do that. But he didn't drink water. Ya Mawla. He got back on his horse. The water is keen.
It was everything. The water is keen was everything to Abul Fadl al-Abbas in that moment.
Close to his body. No one dared fight him one-on-one. No one dared stop him. They all scattered before him. But there was one person, Zayd ibn Warqa, la'natullahi alayhi. He was hiding behind a tree. He caught Abbas of God, come out of his right arm. When the arm of Abul Fadl al-Abbas was gone, he started shouting, Wallahi. قتلتمو يميني إني أحامي أبدا عن ديني وعن إمام صادق اليقين.
He took the water skin with his left arm. The two was cut off, Ya Mawlai. But then he picked up the water skin with his teeth. He could no longer protect it very well, Ya Mawlai. He just tried to make his horse hurry, hoping to reach the tents in time. But Ya Mawlai, but an arrow pierced the water skin. Started to spill. This was the last hope of Abba. He stopped, not knowing what to do. He couldn't go back to the tent. How we could face Sakina and Ruqayya? He has no arms to fight an enemy surrounded him. Ya Sahib al-Zaman. Suddenly an arrow found Abbas. Now he can't even see. He shakes his head, hoping to throw the arrow out, but it's no good. He brings up his knees. He tries to hold the arrow with his knees and pull it out, but he's struck in the head and falls on the ground. Ya Mawla, this is the first time he calls Hussein as brother. He said, Ya Akha. أدرك أخاك العباس. The narrator says that when Imam al-Hussein approached the body of Abul Fadl al-Abbas, it is Ya Allah, what were you saying, Ya Aba Abdullah? The moment he saw the body of Abbas, he said, Ya Allah, Al-Ayan in kasara dhahri wa qallat hilati. Now my back is broke. I don't have any choice. But Ya Mawla, Ya Hussein, when Ali al-Akbar was dying, you were there, putting the head of Ali al-Akbar on your lap. You came to see Abul Fadl al-Abbas. You talked to the whore. You put your face on the face of your slave, your servant. You were there for Hur, for Habib, for Sayyid ibn Abdullah al-Hanafi. But Ya Aba Abdullah, your masahib is different. Ya Mawla, your masahib is different. It is said that the afternoon of Ashura, in the afternoon of Ashura, one of the soldiers of Bani Umayyah, he was drinking the water of Frat, playing with that water, telling Hussein, Oh Hussein, do you see this water? Do you see this pure water? I won't let you to drink a drop of it. Ya Mawla, Ya Mawla, Ya Mawla, Ya Mawla, Ya Mawla, Ya Aba Abdullah. We're reading maqatil.
This is so hard. Please be mindful of this lines of maqtal. This is like the day of Ashura.
It is written in maqtal. Walamma uthkhin al-Husayn bil-jarah. In the afternoon of Ashura, Imam al-Hussein was badly wounded. So many arrows in his body, spears broken in his body. Harmala was ready. He was ready to strike Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. But before that, there were three groups of people. One group would throw stones to Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. One group would fire arrows to Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. One group would hit Hussein and strike him with their swords and spears. It is said, Imam Hussein was so exhausted. He just stopped in a place to rest for a moment. But suddenly a sharp stone struck the forehead of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. Blood spilled from the forehead of Abi Abdullah, and he wanted to dry that place with his cloth, but Harmala was there. He saw that the heart of Abi Abdullah is defenseless, Ya Mawlah, Ya Mawlah. And he threw an arrow to the holy heart of Hussein, Ya Mawlah, Ya Mawlah. In this moment, Abi Abdullah falls down from the horse on his holy face. We have this in Farsi. This is so hard to recite. Bulaya and Martab Shahi is a sadr zin of Dayad. Agar galat nakunam arj bar zamin of Dayad. The poet said, in that moment the throne of Allah fell down to the ground. But Ya Mawlah, Ya Mawlah, Ya Mawlah. You were always with Shuhada, talking to them, giving them peace, and giving them glad tidings of Jannah. But Ya Mawlai, what happened to you in the last moments in Qatlgah? It is said that Zainab was on the mountain looking at the cliff, looking at the Qatlgah. Lady Zainab, what was she seeing? She was seeing that Abi Abdullah has nothing to do. He was defenseless, lying down. The blood has covered the body of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. But suddenly she saw that someone is entering the Qatlgah. Ya Allah! Ya Allah! What was she seeing? She saw that a shimru jalisun ala sadr al-Hussein. Akhidun bilhiyatihi. This was the moment Zainab called to Rasulullah. Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi ya malikus samaya. Adha Husaynu yun bil arayab. Muqadsaw yun a'adha. Maslubu l'imamati. Together, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, before the mountain,
before that, because this is the last moments of this gathering, inshallah, let's together recite this final part of the ziyarah of Abi Abdullah. And imagine yourself in Bainul Haramain, and inshallah, Allah gives us this tawfiq to be together on the day of Arba'in in Bainul Haramain of Abi Abdullah. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت. No one remains silent. عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا يجعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم يا مولا. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين